Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come. Waiting.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 179, here, as always, with the feverish Fanero.
What's up, gentlemen? What up?
What do you do? How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
I almost skipped right over you.
That's okay.
Made Dave victim number 3 on the 15-minute breakdown, so he's kind of happy to have the pressure off of him a little bit.
My blood pressure is still high.
There he is. The spaceman himself just blasted off at FF underscore spaceman. Do you guys think it's weird and even weirder that we're on 179 and I'm bringing this up? Do you think it's weird that Fanero makes these badass intros and then I still feel the want and need to introduce you?
No, I think that's completely organic. I like my Swag's introductions. I enjoy them.
All right, good. Now the listeners are like, yeah, that is kind of stupid now that you... We never thought about it till you said it either.
Until this very moment. It's an excellent point.
So we're back with round 2 of our pre-draft mock draft. Picked number 1 by Dave, Trevor Lawrence. Then it went to Justin Fields. Fanero, I'm assuming you'd still make that pick today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. With you. Then we went Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Jamar Chase, Mac Jones, Najee Harris fell to 7. I was talking to Fanero, and I wonder how much this draft would have changed if I took him like at 103 instead of Zach Wilson. I wonder how the cards would have fell. Then we went Devontae Smith at number 8, Kyle Pitts, number 9, Rondell Moore to Dave. Dave has a crush on Rondell Moore. Then we went Travis Etienne to Feverish. And then I went with Javonte Williams. My guy that I wanted to fall to me there fell. As I've mentioned to these gentlemen, I was on Dynasty Underdog. And I mentioned who I want to fall to me today if these guys let me have him. Which, check those guys out, by the way. It was really good time with... at Willie Beeman and at Uriah. Probably not doing your Twitter handles any justice, but awesome time on your show. Anyway, Dave, we go to you. Do you have any regrets? Do you regret Rondell Moore? You have a huge Rondell Moore crush.
I think I could have gotten him later, like with drafting with you guys, but I think when you start playing who, like your two co-hosts in a mock draft for your audience, I don't think you're giving your honest opinion to the listeners. So I called it how I value that player.
I like that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I love that. But
how about you guys? Do you guys have any regrets?
Oh, hell no. I love all my picks.
You know what? I'll tell you after you guys pick and I see if my guy falls to me or not. Honestly, I think that's how I feel about this.
I think the more you're talking about him, the more I believe he will fall to you. I really do.
Do you know who it is?
No. I have an idea, but I think I'm wrong. I just think that there's two clear picks here at 201 and 202. I think they're two really easy picks. So I could be wrong. We'll see.
One of you is going to take my guy. That did not like instill any bit of confidence in me.
So where are you going, Space, yeah. Man?
I'm going Rashad Bateman. He's got the broken at age 18, eclipsed the 30% threshold at age 19, compares favorably to other successful NFL wide receivers, good athleticism, can play inside, outside. He has good production compared to his conference. Just great production numbers. I like me some Rashad Bateman. I think he's one of the more complete prospects in as far as an analytical evaluation in this class for wide receivers.
Nice pick. Nice pick, Spaceman. I think that's the proper pick. That's exactly where he should be. Getting him in the second round is a steal.
I think more people on any of my player profiles said that that was the player that they were lower on than consensus. Sorry, that's all I wanted to say.
Bateman is my wide receiver 3 in this class. So
wow.
Yep.
Me as well.
Very, very, very appropriate pick at the 201. I am going to follow Bateman with another wide receiver selection, and I will also tease a Rookie Fever episode to come on Monday. My profile will be on this player. My guest will be Travis May from the Campus to Canton podcast. We talked in depth about Jalen Waddle, often compared to Tyreek Hill. We both think that is not a comp we're comfortable with. I don't think anyone should be comping anyone to Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is just a specimen of his own. He's a beast. I actually made a comp to Tyler Lockett, a speedier Tyler Lockett. And Travis didn't hate that one. My concern, and our concern actually when speaking about him, was his body of work, considering that he was injured last year on special teams. By the way, special teams is another one of his traits I think is why he's going to be picked very early in the NFL draft. I think he is clearly a first-round pick, possibly a top 15 NFL pick at the 202.
Who was that?
Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, Jalen Waddle. So he kind of did fall to you a little bit.
Yeah, I'm super happy. Those two wide receivers, again, I would pick Bateman over Waddle. So Spaceman made that easy for me to not have to maybe debate it a little bit. But I was going to go Bateman if he let him fall. I thought there's a chance you were going to go Waddle, Dave. I did, but...
Do you have a landing spot that you like, Finero? I'll tell you one I seen today that I was kind of surprised. I saw the Lions, and I was like, oh, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one I see over and over again is the Giants. I just feel like I don't think the Giants need to go wide receiver in the first round. I think Galladay is where they need to be. I do understand them going wide receiver on day 2. I could see that. And with this depth, I think that would be appropriate. I think they have many other needs, and I don't think, as much as I would love to have somebody like that on the Giants, being a Giants fan, I don't see that happening. As far as other landing spots for Waddle, I mean, if he's going to be top 15, it's really tough to kind of, it's tough enough to try to decide where he's going to go in a draft, but a landing spot, I mean, all I keep seeing is the Giants, and I just don't see it.
And then I've got to clog up this draft really quick, and then we'll get moving. I promise. I apologize I'm doing this. I'm like that guy that it got to me, and now I'm on Twitter talking to everybody, but I'm not going to make my pick. That's who I am being right now. But anyway, okay, so Finero, you said you had Bateman number 3. I'm assuming that you're Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, and then Bateman?
Yes.
And then, so that, okay, I'm with you. Now we got to go to Dave, though, Dave. Dave, so you have to have, because you, if you have Rondale Moore 3 or Bateman 3, correct?
Yep.
But you took Rondale Moore above him.
Yep.
Who's out of this picture? Devontae Smith or Jamar Chase?
Devontae Smith is my 4.
Okay.
I've seen that.
I'm just curious. You know, I kind of caught it going through the.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said last week that I was just done debating over that 2 slot, and Devonta Smith's my number 2. Something in the draft would have to be a really, really, really awful landing spot to change my mind about that. I'm just done with it. Bateman was my number 2 at one point, and I just can't. I can't quit Devonta Smith. I think it's the number 170, and I'm just getting over it.
The number I love me some Devonta Smith. I'm really high on him. I actually think I'm higher than a lot of more analytically driven people are, because if he broke out later and has a lot more late production, so a lot of people who care about those types of numbers fade him. But I his peak production, his ability, and the way he wins, I don't care about size. I like Smith a lot too. So me having him at 4 is not hating, because I just really like a lot of wide receivers in this class.
That's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. So these guys have been texting me to go to the bathroom and act like I have to poop so that I would make a pick already. And I'm picking... My guy fell to me.
I knew he did. I knew who it is, too.
Yeah. Who is it, Dave?
It's Marshall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Therese Marshall. Yep. I like him here a lot. 203. I blame Matt Hicks. And it's so funny too, because I know, like, I know that there's probably a high chance that we're influenced by the people that we are interviewing with. So I try to be cautious of this, but Hicks turned me on to him pretty early on in our profiles. And since then, you know, you start to do your own digging, and I've really started to like him a lot. I think he's going to be one of those guys that if he lands in the right spot, I think that he's going to be that guy that moves up into that, like, 111 to this area. I got him in here, 202. I feel really good getting him here at 203. I want to move him up too high, and I try to not. It'd be interesting because we're doing our mock, but I know it's not holding true to all of our rankings because of the other players that all of us are picking. So it'd be interesting, too, when we're all done with this and get some landing spots done with our profiles, like, throw out some rankings.
The one thing I remember Matt saying on your profile, Swags, was something that all fantasy gamers would like. And the thing that he thought that Tress Marshall could provide is quick impact. That he played all over the field, shared the field with Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. This year got to play the X all by himself, but still has the versatility clearly to play inside. Very athletic. Yeah, so it's one of those guys where he could – I mean, look at it. We're off rugs, right? We're off Rager. These big, like, a guy that can play all over the field, that's the guy that you want to draft in your rookie draft because the value will be sustained or go up. So that's what I like about Marshall. So I like that pick.
Back to the spaceman.
So this is where things get a little interesting for me, and I'm going to go I don't hate to say it. Maybe it's a DJ Moore love. Maybe it's a Rondale Moore love. Maybe it's just three times a Moore kind of guy. I don't know. Elijah Moore, I'm a big – maybe it was because I loved Finero's rookie profile also. I'm going Elijah Moore. He's got the production, the early breakout, athleticism, in the dominating the SEC, coming from maybe the new wide receiver university at Ole Miss. You know, there's a lot to love about Elijah Moore, and it's I'm not scared away that he's maybe be a slot guy. Give me Elijah. I'm very high on Elijah Moore. Very high.
Sniped me, dude. I feel like we have the same damn rankings.
Sniped you in a few mocks as well, and I've enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. I'm very, very. I thought Elijah Moore would absolutely be mine at 205. So
throwing you off.
Very upset with that pick. Very upset.
Are you now? Are you the guy that's like, I'm not picking because you just took my guy?
No, you know what? I hate listening to podcasts where podcasters give a shit on who sniped them. This isn't even a real draft. Like, who cares? Good pick, Dave. I'm no longer upset. Who cares? Good pick.
Hallelujah, Dave.
Do you guys? So Finero likes it. What do you got? Any thoughts on Elijah Moore? Is that a little bit early for your taste, guys? Or?
I think it's about the right spot. Yeah.
Actually, exactly where Marshall went was my pick too.
Okay.
I would have absolutely picked Marshall over Moore, and Moore would be my next wide receiver. So
we're loving, he like loving got where double sniped, Dave.
Kinda, yeah.
And I'm not he couldn't even be happier about it.
Yeah, I'm not even going to pick now.
You guys picked so good that this mock is over.
Yeah, we just ended the entire thing. So I hope you guys are happy. Whatever
Very
makes you happy.
Intriguing trend in our draft so far. I don't want to call out players who haven't been drafted yet, but just we're on a wide receiver run right here.
Well,
running
back.
Oh, now you're
that's
table
over.
Talking too. Now that's, you're that's table over, talking too,
yeah.
Dave.
Oh, yeah. I'm Dave. Rubbing it in Finero's face. He's getting sniped, and I'm table talking.
The wide receiver run is over, my friends. This is not where either of you think I'm going. I know you both think I'm probably
going
to grab
it. I'm
kind of
worried about where you're going, actually.
So I'm going with somebody that I believe I'm going to own a lot of, and I'm going to put him firmly in my tight end garden, reminding everyone that this is a tight end premium.
I know who you're taking.
I'm going to take Mr. Pat Freiermuth out of Penn State, 258 pounds, 6'5". And I believe Brandon Lejeune and Swags went over this tight end from Penn State.
Yep.
I
love this pick.
Called him the best blocker in the class. Now, I know if I was talking to Dynasty Rich, he wouldn't give two shits about his blocking. He wants his tight ends out there in the flat. But with that being said, I also remember Brandon saying that he, meaning Pat Freiermuth, owns from the line of scrimmage to the 25-yard line. That is a quarterback's best friend. I think that we see early production. Again, he's in my garden. I'm not saying anything crazy. He's not going to have this year one production, but it's a tight end premium league. I think Pat Freiermuth is dropping because of Pitts. And actually, to be quite honest with you, because of Brevin Jordan. Brevin Jordan seems to have popped him. So I am so happy to get him in a tight end premium. And because Kyle Pitts is shielding anyone from even thinking that Pat Freiermuth is worth this value. I believe that after my top wide receivers are off the board, I'm pivoting to tight end. I'm going with Pat Freiermuth, and I'm happy about it. I think I can get him later in rookie drafts, to be honest.
I think you probably can too, but I absolutely love that pick. And so I'll tell you, I'm going with Kyle Trask here. But before I get into that, I'm going to, like, the next guy in my rankings was Pat Freiermuth, who I was hoping I would get on my next pick. I had a feeling when you started to say we were going to be surprised that you were taking one of Kyle Trask or Freiermuth. So I'm really happy to have Kyle Trask fall to me. I guess it's not a huge fall, but I'm really happy to get him here. But I did think that I'd get Freiermuth on that next pick still, just with how my rankings were. And so I love the Freiermuth pick, and really happy to get Trask here. I think he could maybe be one of those guys maybe you see go to the Bears, play behind Dalton for a year, something like that. He's not going to be, I think, a year one guy without an injury. I don't think anybody's going to draft him to be their starter this year. But super flex format, I'm going to start to take some of my risks still here. We totally dried out all the quarterbacks in round one, but I am going to get one here in with my second pick in round two.
Intriguing. That this is one of the earliest I've seen Trask go. And I don't, and I totally understand the reason why, because you want that quarterback value, and people want to say that he was, you know, was a product of Kyle Pitts. I don't quite see it that way at all. I don't mind Kyle Trask at all. And going back to Freiermuth, my co-host on Tale of Two Rivals last night said that he wouldn't be shocked if Freiermuth had a similar or better production when it's all said and done than Kyle Pitts. Just because people are not giving Freiermuth enough credit. Not that he thinks Pitts is bad or anything. It was just he likes Freiermuth a lot. And I think people have a lot of hangover from last year's poor tight end class that they are not quite realizing how good even that second tier of tight ends are in this class. So well done by both you guys. My pick is actually really tough because I don't usually think I can get this player here. I think he goes in the top of this part. So man, this is tough. I think I'm going to go Kenny Gainwell here. I thought I was going to avoid the running backs. This is the one running back that I probably am going to take in the second round of drafts. And in the mid-second, I'm totally fine because of his receiving upside, a little bit heavier than we thought, and I think he's going to get decent draft capital. But it's a risk not knowing draft capital or landing spot.
Sure.
Yeah, so I have a cluster of running backs right around this area. And for most of my drafts, I'm trying to, like, every mock, I've been able to avoid this decision by going Elijah Moore. This is about where he goes. Mm-hmm. I've been able to avoid this decision and just walk away freaking happy as hell. Elijah Moore, done. I don't need to pick any of these running backs. But now, with Elijah Moore off the board, with Marshall off the board, I feel like I have to go in this direction. And to be quite honest, there's three running backs I have as my RB4. I know that doesn't make any sense. You can't really do that. But this is why they're all my RB.
Honestly, I kind of know what you mean. At the same time, I'm not even going to ask you to explain yourself, because especially without landing spots.
Right. And my three RB4s might be different than someone else's 4, 5, and 6. I believe that's probably true. I think this particular back I'm about to take in particular isn't necessarily there. But Michael Carter played along Javonte Williams. And in 2019, he had more yards from scrimmage, just a couple, but more. All-purpose yards, also more. In 2020, he had more yards on the ground and more all-purpose yards. The really big difference between the two players are two things. One is their profile. Williams is bigger. And the second is the touchdowns. Williams had 19 touchdowns in 2020, where Carter had 9. So that's a huge difference. But I know I've heard Dave say several times to me, and I don't know if it's the same in college, but that touchdowns are really hard to predict. All I'm saying is we're well into the second round now, and I'm getting someone that played alongside of Javonte Williams that has a pretty damn decent body of work over the last 4 years. He is a senior. I don't love that part of it, but I am pretty happy with his production. I also like his wheels a lot. I think he has something to offer there. He's 5'8", 200 pounds, decent size. So I'm going to go with Michael Carter. I think that is probably, as of right now, this is how I feel about these three guys, by the way, which I won't even name the third one yet in case somebody does draft him. It's going to be who goes first in the draft for me. I think all three of these backs could go in the third round. So it's going to be about landing spot. Like, I mean, that's what everything's about, right? Landing spot and draft capital for these backs. I don't, if any of these backs that I have in my group falls to the fourth round, that's my Mason Dixon line. I've mentioned that several times. That's when I start to really lose interest in that back, is after that third round, to be quite honest. So Michael Carter.
Feverish. Michael Carter is the only running back in this draft class who has 20 receptions over the last 3 years. That information is courtesy of yours truly at FF_spaceman himself, shouted out last night by the guys at Dynasty Underground. So they brought that to my attention from Dave's work.
I really enjoy Willie and Uriah. I'm very friendly with both of them. They're great guys.
Absolutely. So I don't mind that pick. And they even kind of were like, you know, and comparing him to like Giovanni Bernard, which when you hear that, you're kind of like, ugh.
That's not a bad comp.
It's not
either.
Bad. No, he's been viable. We want to shoot for the moon, or, you know, maybe I should say we want to shoot for the stars when we should be shooting for the moon.
Right.
And just go for somebody like Gio. So, I mean, if he can give me that kind of role in an offense, I'm very happy with that, actually, especially in this area. That's a viable asset if he can give you Giovanni Bernard type numbers. So I'm taking somebody you mentioned earlier who I thought for sure, like, because you were table talking too, and you said Brevin Jordan. So I'm taking him here because nice. You took who I really wanted, which was also Freiermuth.
Right.
I'm going to grab Brevin Jordan here, who we don't have a player profile on.
I know. I think it's a sin.
Yes.
But it happens. We can't cover everybody.
It does. Maybe somebody will hear this and be like, hey, I would love to do Brevin Jordan.
I think it goes back to what Dave was saying. I think after Pitts, people get bored.
Yeah.
It's so, like, oh, well, there aren't any more tight ends in this class. Yes, there are.
If you want to do a Brevin Jordan player profile, it'll be like the first one to Dave's DMs.
I think I have one more to do. I did one tonight. I think I have one more to do. So if nice. I could do Brevin Jordan.
Nice.
Dude, it's so funny, man. I've been kind of baiting people. I told Finero about it. I'll tell you about it later, Dave. So yeah, I'm going with Brevin Jordan here, though. I think in the right landing spot, he'll be a good tight end in my garden. I like Freiermuth more. Just like Finero said, a lot of people have moved Jordan up. I'm not doing that, but I really like getting him here. So go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
This is best case scenario for me, because if I'm on the clock and I have Kenny Gainwell still on the clock, it's a coin flip for me. I actually probably lean this player more than Kenny Gainwell, but in a draft I'm doing, a mock draft I'm doing for another show, I actually took Tylan Wallace over Kenny Gainwell because I just love some Tylan Wallace. I think people, usually the reason why people love these these early declares is because it's a talent. It talks about talent. Well, Tylan Wallace could not declare early because of that injury he had, that ACL tear. I think it would have hurt his draft stock. So I can explain away that part of his profile. Uber dominant player, relatively good athleticism, and he's just a player that I really enjoy watching. So yeah, Tylan Wallace I actually felt like I betrayed him by not taking him earlier, but I'm happy to see him here.
Nearly 1,500 yards at age 19. Right, so that was the season before that ACL tear.
Yep.
You and Peter Howard covered that on your player profile.
Truly, from a production standpoint, he's truly dominant. A truly dominant production profile.
All right, I guess that brings me up again, and this one's tough because once again, Spaceman, you've come out of the lurking corner and sniped me. So I was already
this whole round was tougher, right?
Yeah, I was all ready to talk about Tylan Wallace. I just love how I feel, because I don't feel I'll speak for myself. If I didn't like a pick, I would have said it. And I really like the way this has gone, the order it's gone in, and feeling sniped kind of just tells me we're really very similar, like as far as like our rankings, and we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be something that because I'm stuck between two different positions, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it because I want to talk about this player because I'm higher on him than most. And it's not because I did a profile on him, so let's stop there. But it's Chuba Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard is another one of my – that's the group of three, so we hit them. So it's Gainwell, Carter, and Hubbard. I have them all in that RB4 area, and it's just going to be whoever gets drafted first. He had an eye-popping, let's call it, 2,292 yards in 2019. I'm willing to look past 2020, I think, more than other people. The O-line at Oklahoma State was also kind of a wreck. It was a COVID season. He played 7 games. Did he look like the same guy in 2019? Was that a major letdown? Yeah. But is it possibly an overreaction? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to actually cherry pick Chuba in drafts because of where he's going. And because of the value, I think I can get.
And 211,
right? With that 2019 season, that's enough for me, man. I think that is worth the risk at 211. And now I've mitigated my risk by getting two of my top four running backs. And this is something I know, Swags, you swore off of, and here I am doing it.
It's my rookie resolution.
Yeah, you will not.
But it's really hard in this area.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult. And
especially with this next pick, I almost at this point, I start to feel like I'm being stubborn to my rookie resolution and trying to hold too true if I don't take some of the running backs. I did want to ask you guys, if I wouldn't have taken Brevin Jordan there and I took Tylan Wallace, would Brevin Jordan have made it back through you guys to me?
No, I would have picked him.
I would have quit the draft because Tylan Wallace wouldn't have been there. So
they would have been out. It's funny though, because like Fanero said, it's good to see the draft fall in an order that you kind of agree with. But even in a mock draft, you still do get those like weird, bitter feelings like, oh, I got sniped, and really doesn't matter. So you guys probably would have taken Brevin Jordan, Tylan Wallace. So we got Chuba Hubbard. This is where it's really tough.
The last pick of the night.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make your mark.
So,
make your mark, Swags. Make your mark.
So it's really tough. Really tough. I'm going to stick to my rankings that I kind of drew out before the show rather than some of the guys that fell to me that I didn't expect to. I have two guys that are still here. It's really tough, man. So I'm going to take Trey Sermon. Just to throw one more running back into the mix. We will have a player profile dropping on Trey Sermon as well.
Good. Glad you brought him up then. Good.
And that's kind of what like starts to like turn our heads to him sometimes, and we get a little more interested. That's when I start to watch tape and do my own digging. And he looks pretty fast, pretty explosive. The right landing spot, I think he could maybe have a role. It's a risky area. I feel like if I asked you guys to go one more round, I feel like you would, and I feel like my other guy will fall to me.
Wow. I mean, I'll do a rapid fire, three more picks if you want.
Well, that's what I meant, like our fictional round, like one more pick each.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that.
Yep.
What do you think, Davey, up for it?
Yeah, I just need a little stall. I had erased my thoughts. I was like, I got Tan Wallace, and then I just kind of like took a deep breath.
You're like, I won. I got Tyler Wallace. I'm out. Drop the mic. I'm out.
Dave's had a long night. This is like his third or fourth show today.
Well, I promise you he's going to pick my guy because he's done it the entire time. So
come on, Dave. Don't do it.
This probably is not your guy here. I'm going a little, I think it's a little early based on his ADP, but I'm going Dyami Brown. I really like his early age adjusted production. And he has a lot from his where you group off. If you look at his production, he has a lot of interesting comps for his size, his speed, and production that excite me. And at this point, I like me some Dyami Brown. And this feels a little early, actually, but I'm totally cool with it.
Fanero, okay. I know you have to get going. This show will be a lot quicker if you don't take my guy.
Okay. I don't think you're going to take this guy. You know why? Because no player profile on him.
Okay.
Everyone and their mother makes fun of him. and yet there's a really solid chance he's drafted in the first round. So I'm just going to do it. And I know Spaceman knows who I'm talking about. This is why I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick Kadarius Toney. And the reason I'm going to do it is because I spoke with Izzy from the Dynasty Trade Calculator, and he said something that really turned me on to this thought and this idea and this process. He's a smart guy. We all know him. He said, hedge your bets. He said, a great gambler is right 55% of the time. That's a good winning gambler is right 55%. So therefore, he's wrong 45% of the time. Be okay with diversifying and picking these guys that are going to fall in your drafts, and be okay with being wrong. I'm not saying pick up Toney in every one of your drafts, but don't be afraid to, because he's like the mockery of Twitterville. He's going to be picked by NFL scouts very early in the draft. He does have athleticism that is very attractive to NFL teams. If he's on the right team and he's used the right way with this draft capital, I think this is a steal this late. This is a third round pick. I'm getting a first round, most likely a first round wide receiver that for some reason Twitter hates. So yeah. I'm going to take the value here.
I am going to wrap this up with Tamarian Terry.
Yeah.
I think that he's probably somebody that you're probably going to realistically get mid third or so. So this area here around 303, I think's probably, I'm only probably going a little bit early on him, to be honest with you, but another player profile that I did. So, I mean, I might be falling even more to this than you guys are, because, you know, it's just, but another guy just fits my type. Felix Sharp, spoke highly of him, got me really into him and kind of paying attention. I'm going to be watching him during the draft and looking for landing spots. Can you believe that's 2 weeks away?
It is. It's going to be,
I can't believe tomorrow. I can't believe it, because all of Twitter told me about it today. So,
oh, I gotta make sure the right date. I know the right date. I'll have to get on Twitter. If Twitter said it, it's true.
Tomorrow I'm gonna say 13 days to the NFL draft to see if how many people actually say 13 days to the NFL draft. People.
No, you got to get on and be like, yesterday was 2 weeks till the NFL draft.
Exactly,
guys. Two second round talents for me are left on the board. So this is pretty cool. So as far as this draft is going for us, I thought this was a lot of fun. Well, a lot of good.
Well, I'll tell you who I am. And then if Finero would, he can tell you who he is. And then you can have all the outro music to tell us about those people.
Ooh, I like that, because I wanted to hear about it anyway.
Yeah. I'm Swagzilla0G at Rookie Fever.
Oh,
sorry, dude.
No, that's a very important one to drop. And I'm Mike, the Feverish Finero, at Aardvark TV.
He's at FF_Spaceman. He's about to tell you about these players that fell to him. He traded, and now he's got an extra 304 and 305 to spend.
Wow.
I think I'm all jacked up from the breakdown still. That's one of the, I'm still jacked up still. The adrenaline's still flowing here. But I'm going Kylan Hill. I really like his value. Mm. Receiving back, has the size to handle a decent workload as well. Elusive. And then also, Seth Williams, I think, is another guy that I'd be excited to take.
Yes.
One of the few guys with size in this draft. So I like Seth Williams as well.
Yeah, he's a throwback to the X wide receiver. 6'2", 225 pounds. Love that pick. That's who I want the Giants to get.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
I think we've got, the bean counter did Seth Williams. It's hard to keep track of all those.